Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Now, Dr. Nyirenda, we want to talk about this cholera outbreak out there in, you know, Lusaka, Zambia. In fact, the country as a whole, because we understand that it was declared back in October last year, beginning in Lusaka. And of course, early this year, last month, on the 18th of Jan, almost 11,000 cases were reported. And of course, 432 deaths were reported across the 9 provinces out of the 10. Now, for those of our listeners who may not be aware, please explain what is the situation and what, in fact, some may not even know what cholera actually is and what are the factors that exacerbate the cholera itself.
Thank you very much. Yes, so like I've been introduced, I'm Dr. Myereka Nyirenda. I'm a medical doctor by profession and obstetrician by specialization and a public health practitioner.
Mm.
Yes, so I'm health director for Woodlands Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists.
Right.
And I should begin to by saying that it is really a honor and privilege for me to be able to speak on Adventist World Radio, albeit about a dreaded disease, cholera. Yes, so Zambia is currently fighting the biggest cholera outbreak ever. We had a serious outbreak in 2017-2018,
mm-hmm.
where we recorded 5,905 cases and 98 deaths, representing a case fatality ratio
mm-hmm.
of 1.8%. But this one is way more than what we have experienced in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Our current outbreak was declared on 18th October 2023, and so far we have recorded 17,763 cases with 630 deaths and a case fatality rate, a global case fatality rate of 3.55%, and a facility case fatality rate of 1.5%, and more than half of the cases, I should say that more than half of the deaths have occurred in the community, and one of the reasons is that there is poor health-seeking behavior, and there is now stigma for those that are presenting with the signs and symptoms of cholera.
Oh,
yes,
man.
So just to talk.
Yes, please go ahead, Doc.
Yes, maybe just to say what cholera is. Yes, so cholera is an acute diarrheal disease that is caused by a germ or a bacteria called Vibrio cholerae.
Hmm.
And this bacteria has an incubation period of between 2 hours and 5 days, meaning that someone can get exposed to this bacteria, and within 2 hours to 5 days they can develop the disease. So 2 hours is the minimum, and 5 days is the maximum period within which they can begin to manifest the signs and symptoms of cholera. And so cholera causes death by dehydration. So someone begins to lose a lot of water and salts through vomiting and diarrhea. And the number of loose stool for cholera is more than 3 to 4 times in 24 hours.
Mm.
Now, what has fueled our current cholera outbreak is basically issues of poor water and sanitation facilities,
mm-hmm.
especially in unplanned settlements of Lusaka.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Lusaka accounts for about 90% of the cases and the deaths that we have recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about the water and the poor water and sanitation in the unplanned settlements, we are basically saying that there are some settlements in Lusaka which were not planned, and so they are not serviced with water and sewerage facilities. And so the people in these settlements use shallow wells for drinking water,
Mm.
and pit latrines for they use pit latrines for their toilets. And so when the rainy season begins, the water table begins to rise, and so there is mixing of the water that they use for drinking and the fecal matter. And so that's what fuels this outbreak. And just to add to this, some of the people that are in these land settlements are the ones who do street vending, and they are also the ones who go to work as garden boys and maids in the plant settlements. And so as they come to do this work, they also spread the disease as they interact with their with their employers. And so this outbreak has had a very devastating effect on so many social aspects. I can talk about schools. Schools were supposed to open. Schools were supposed to open on the 8th of January. But because cases were rising, the opening date was moved to the 29th of January. Again, because the cases were still rising, the opening had to be moved to 12th February 2024. And so as things stand, going by the press conference that was given by the Minister of Education, schools are earmarked to open on the 12th of February. And the other impact has been on gathering in public places. So the government issued a circular about a month ago restricting the number of hours that churches should meet. And so the restriction is that we can only meet for a maximum of 2 hours per worship session. And so you can imagine how this has negatively impacted the worship. And so Bible studies have to be done virtually, but you also understand that some of our churches do not have live streaming facilities, so they get to be affected by that.
Yeah, it's you know, but it really, really, you know, it reminds us of those COVID-19 days where you know, churches were closed and everything was just not going well. Now, what measures have been taken and can still be taken to address this situation?
Thank you very much. So the church has responded as well. So I will begin by the measures that the church has put in place. So first among the measures is the issue of awareness, cholera awareness. So every time that we gather for church activities, every time that we gather for worship, there is always health talk about cholera. Then the second thing is that that all the churches have been instructed to provide hand washing facilities with chlorinated water and hand soap or hand sanitizers at the entrance to the premises, as well as in the ablution blocks. Then all the water that is used on the church premises is supposed to be either chlorinated or bored. Then we have also ensured that the toilets are cleaned on a regular basis with disinfectants. And last but not the least, we have suspended potluck or communal meals just to ensure that we keep the cases at bay. On the government side, the response has been quite massive. WHO and the UN family quickly moved in, and we are able to supply the country with 1.7 million doses. And ideally, these are supposed to be two-dose regimes, but they've only been able to give one dose each because the place where they procure these drugs, they only have very few doses. And so we expect that that the people are going to have a protection cover of 6 months, unlike the two dose regime, which has a protection cover of 2 years. And the other measures that have been put in place is Lusaka Water and Sanitation Company has been supplying water to has gone into an emergency supply of water to these hotspots or to these unplanned settlements. And so they have set up 10,000 liter tanks in collaboration with the Disaster Management and Mitigation Unit. Yeah, so they have set up a lot of water points where people can access clean as well as chlorinated water. And then government, together with a lot of cooperating partners, have been able to set up what they are calling oral rehydration points, where the members of the community can go to these points if they have symptoms, if they have loose stool. They can go to these points and then they can get oral rehydration solution. And if the symptoms do not improve, that's when they go to cholera treatment units that have been set around in these hotspots. And if those don't help, then they are referred to a higher level, which is being called the cholera treatment center. So there's a very big treatment center at Hero Stadium with a lot of specialists just attending to cholera cases.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that are happening.
Wow. Doc, how can, you know, perhaps some people are listening on the line and want to understand and may want to get some tips on how can people safeguard themselves and their families from this? I do know that how can people safeguard? I do know that you talked about sanitizing, etc., and all of those things. But in a closed family environment where there's about five or six people, I suppose people can still infect each other there. What then happens in that setup?
Yes, so there are certain things that we are emphasizing. And the first among those is the use of safe drinking water. And by safe, we're saying the water should either be chlorinated or it should be boiled. And so we've been emphasizing to the people to say that even if the water looks clear, it can still contain germs that cause cholera. And so we are emphasizing and re-emphasizing the issue of chlorinating the water and the issue of boiling water where there is no chlorine, and that when this water has been boiled or chlorinated, it should be stored in a container that has a small opening or a container that has a narrow neck where which is fitted with a lid. And when they are getting water from these water vessels, we are encouraging them to pour instead of scooping water from those vessels. Then the second thing that we have been emphasizing is good hygiene and sanitation practices. Mm-hmm. And so we are saying that people should get used to washing their hands regularly with soap and water, and that when it comes to cooking, the water that they should use for cooking should be safe water. Before handling food, they should ensure that their hands are clean. When they change a baby who has sold themselves, they need to ensure that they wash their hands. And even after taking care or touching someone who is sick, they're encouraging that they keep washing their hands. And we're also talking about the issue of avoiding handshakes, because we know that that certain people may not have good hand hygiene practices. And so if someone touches someone with contaminated hands, they may be able to pick the bacteria that may result into disease. And the other thing that we are emphasizing is that people should keep their surroundings clean. And when it comes to preparation of food, we are saying that people should eat cooked food immediately while it's warm, and that they should cover cooked food and store it carefully. When they want to heat the food that they've stored, they need to reheat it thoroughly before eating it. They should avoid contact between raw food and cooked food, and that they should ensure that the utensils are washed with clean water all the time. And then the last one is that for those that have got sick relatives, we are encouraging that they take them to the health facility at the earliest possible time. And even as they take them to the facility, we want them to ensure that their loved ones are already on ORS, so that we don't prolong the disease. We don't prolong the dehydration that the cholera patients get to suffer. And so the other major thing that we're trying to talk about is the issue of stigma, because we've noticed that a lot of people don't want to go to the health facilities on account of being noticed that they are suffering from the disease. And so so a lot of organization under risk communication and community engagement are trying to communicate to the masses, saying that they should break that stigma so that people can access care, and so that people can be helped and that they can recover from this disease.
Beautiful. Well, Dr. Nyirenda, I do want to thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. All of the best. I think all of your hands are on deck, and I think everybody is involved into making sure that we don't have any needless fatalities because of this. It can be avoided, and people can do as much as they can to make sure that they stay healthy and not get sick from cholera. Thank you so much, Doc, for joining us.
Thank you. And maybe just as I wind up, I would like to indicate that the number of cases have gone down. We were recording an average of 500 to 600 per day, but now we're recording under 200, and even the number of deaths that we've been recording have been going down, and so we are seeing the end of the outbreak in sight. Thank you very much.
Wonderful, wonderful. That is good news. Well, Doc, thank you so much. All of the best with the great work that you are doing over there. We are praying for the country. We are praying for all of the people involved, all of those who are sick. We're praying for the intervention from above, that everyone must actually get one other chance in life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.